We've got it.
This transmission is coming to you.
Waging war on corruption.
All right, you are go.
It's Alex Jones, coming to you live from the front lines of the info war.
Now we see the earth.
We've got it.
Now we see the earth now.
We've got it.
Now we see the earth.
We've got it.
Now we see the earth now.
What? Yes, we do. I'm Alex Jones, coming to you from the historic Lakewood Theater here in Dallas, Texas, where I'm going to be premiering a still unnamed 45-minute documentary that's powerful. And I'm right before we went live here, I was still trying to think of what is the name of this new film that we're going to premiere this evening. I've got to think of a name by the time that I actually get on air. So that is coming up today. We're going to have Jim Mars showing up here in the next 30 minutes or so. And he's scheduled to be with us in studio or here on the road in the second hour. We have one of the people that was on the show Preppers on the Nat Geo channel. He's going to be on the broadcast with us. He, of course, had his guns confiscated just because he went to visit the doctor for some chest pains. And they said, well, we're just going to go ahead and take your firearms away from you. So we've got Kurt Haskell, Jim Mars, and others joining us today. In fact, Kurt Haskell, who just a few days ago at the sentencing of the underwear bomber, who was put on the aircraft on Christmas Day by the U.S. government. At the sentencing, Kurt Haskell was able to expose to the world that this was basically a patsy setup and a false flag inside job operation. So he is going to be joining us coming up right after this break that is about to happen here in just one moment. We will also, of course, get into some of the latest news and developments at Infowars.com. UN guidelines are recruiting religious leaders as agents of change for a one-world religion. That's official by the UN. They're openly announcing world government, world taxation, world regulation, world Agenda 21, the end of the family. Also, drugstores are pushing all different types of poison, including fluoridated water for children, mercury-laden vaccines, and more. I'm going to be going over a report on that. Also, there's more evidence coming out that the U.S., Israel, and NATO are putting Al-Qaeda into Syria to try to destabilize that country. We're not saying Assad's a good guy here. We're just simply stating Al-Qaeda's even worse. And they claim that we should give up all our rights because of Al-Qaeda and let the TSA fondle all of us to keep us safe is absolutely patently ridiculous to a level that I can't even begin to fathom or imagine. So it's all coming up today. Kurt Haskell, then the gentleman on top of that from the show Hoarders, is also going to be joining us. I had some notes here, and I had his name written on a cocktail napkin. That's my big prep for the guest here today. But it's David Sardi. And, of course, we wrote an article about that earlier in the week, and it's gotten no media coverage, basically, even though it was a big national TV show that his guns have been confiscated because he and complained of chest pains and then didn't agree to their medical treatment. So they said, well, then we're going to take your firearms. That shows that you're crazy. And they've got, of course, the new psychological evaluations that are being added into the psychological evaluation handbook that says not trusting government is mentally ill. So George Washington, of course, today would be put on different types of Prozac or maybe even lithium that the government's calling for to be put in the water because he didn't trust or like his big, fat, stinking government. So that's just some of what's coming up. We are, again, live from the historic Lakewood Theater here in Dallas, Texas. And unfortunately, all of the tickets have sold out. They were holding like 5% back at the door, and those have all sold out. They tell me that they're allowed to sell a few standing room only tickets for people that you know, are willing to stand, obviously. And so you may be able to still show up and get in. I hope you can. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Our big problem is never getting a big enough venue.
You are listening to an InfoWars.com frontline report. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. From deep in the heart of FEMA Region 6, Austin, Texas, transmitting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
We are blasting out worldwide on over 100 AM and FM stations, XM, of course, Global Shortwave, WWCR, number one when it comes to audio streams and podcasts, according to Alexa, Shoutcast, and many other metrics like Google Analytics. Thank you so much for joining us on this Sunday evening. It, of course, is 4 o'clock and 6 minutes Central Standard Time. And the reason I like to start the broadcast at least once a week, pointing out that we are reaching 3 million people by radio a day, over a million people a day by internet, website, and of course, millions a week, uncounted, via YouTube and other systems, a total of 15 million plus a week and growing, is because it shows that people are hungry for hardcore reality-based information. It shows that, that as a society, when people stand up and get involved and resist tyranny, that we're able to turn back the what seems like unending waves of corruption. Now, we are joined by a gentleman who, well, broke major information, but he was also a survivor. He was the survivor of the underwear bombing two Christmases ago, about a year and 2 months ago now or more. And, of course, his name is Kurt Haskell. Now, Kurt Haskell was flying back from Europe, and he was flying with his wife, who's also a lawyer, and he witnessed a sharp-dressed man getting who we now know as the underwear bomber on the aircraft. And then he witnessed a bunch of other weird behavior on the plane. He reported that he saw what looked like government people getting him on the aircraft, past security without proper ID, at the gate. And then for a month and a half, you know, the media didn't cover it until, well, C-SPAN aired congressional hearings where the Undersecretary of State came out and admitted that they were ordered by an unnamed U.S. agency to get him on the aircraft. And joining us now to discuss this is Kurt Haskell. Obviously, the underwear bomber pled guilty. Was his family threatened? Is he mentally ill? As many people have said, we're not sure, but we do know that he was gotten on the aircraft and protected, and that whole thing was launched right as the naked body scanners were being rolled out against the population. So Kurt Haskell joins us now because as a victim, he was able to read into the court record his victim's statement where he was able to expose the fact that this was a false flag patsy event, and he told the underwear bomber, you are not a Muslim hero. You are a pathetic patsy, to paraphrase him. Kurt, thank you for joining us here today.
Sure. Glad to be back, Alex.
These are short segments we're going to break here in about 5 minutes. You've got the floor, but for new listeners, recap the basics of what happened in a few minutes and then get into the sentencing and what you said there. And finally, other than my show, you were able to get out some of the information of the cover-up.
Yeah. You want me to go back to what actually happened on the Christmas Day flight?
You know what? Sherman, whatever you think is best. But, I mean, some people are like, hey, the guys, you know, said he did it. So case closed. Okay, well, why did the government get him on the aircraft? That's admitted.
Yeah, well, you know, I saw him before we boarded. And I saw him, you know, being escorted around security by a man in a tan suit who told the desk worker he didn't have a passport. And then they were sent to talk to a manager. You know, and then all of a sudden he's on our flight trying to blow it up a few hours later. You know, and that was just the start of it. And then, you know, I talked to the FBI thinking I'm helping them catch an accomplice. I find out soon enough that they don't really want to talk to me. They lie about the existence of this man. You know, only a month later, then ABC News puts couple sentences in the bottom of another article where the government changes their story and now admits that he exists, but they try and portray him as an Al-Qaeda member helping the bomber you know, get through security, which was impossible because he had some kind of security clearance, and went to the desk and said, hey, he's from Sudan. We do this all the time, you know, helping him board without a passport. So I knew it wasn't Al-Qaeda at all, you know, and then all the other anomalies, you know, the Patrick Kennedy testimony in Congress where the government admitted that they knew he was a terrorist, had been tracking him, wanted to let him into the U.S. so they could follow him and catch other accomplices. There, you know, there was that admission. There was a string of other so-called terrorist attacks where the government admitted to handing out fake bombs. We had his standby attorney, Anthony Chambers, admit that he had seen the reports from the explosive experts hired by the government, and those reports indicated that the bomb was impossibly defective because it lacked a blasting cap. You know, and it goes on and on and on. I had another passenger call me and confirm that she saw exactly what I did, but she was too scared to come forward. And, you know, and then we have all these measures put in place after this because of, you know, a security breach. But really, there was no security breach at all, except the one created by the government, you know, but this was the incident that led to the body scanning machines. It led to the renewal of certain parts of the Patriot Act that were going to expire. And obviously,
and let's remember, they'd already pre-ordered the machines, but this happened about 2 weeks before the official rollout of them. Perfect PR timing. And as you've pointed out, it's the cover-up that's the evidence of the crime. It's them lying the whole time and then you being proven correct. It's the fact that they said, oh, the guy that helped get him on must have been Al-Qaeda. But then it turns out the U.S. government ordered the State Department to help get him the visa and all the rest of it and help get him on the aircraft. And then the trial, that's what really clenched it for you. Because I remember a year ago or more when we first were talking, you know, you were about 99% sure. But you were telling me just a few weeks ago when we talked, now seeing the whole trial, and we'll talk about that after the break, seeing the trial and the cover-up and the corruption and how scared they are of this info coming out, I mean, that right there is the proof of the guilt.
Yeah, well, all of it is. It's one, you know, it's one piece at a time, putting the puzzle together. There are a lot of pieces, and you know, I didn't even believe it initially until the pieces started coming together. And there, to me, there's no other explanation right now. None. It's not possible. So, you know, people.
We're going to break in a moment. I mean, continue. Tell us what's coming up after the break. You know, now that you saw the trial as a lawyer, what you witnessed, he called you. And you predicted this, I remember, on my show, as the only witness. You said, I wonder if he'll call me as a witness and use me as leverage. Then he does call you as the only witness. Then they give him the plea bargain deal. Then he drops you as the witness, obviously. I mean, this is like out of a Hollywood movie.
It should totally be a Hollywood movie, but again, it never will be for obvious reasons because the government and media try and cover it up. But yeah, I have a lot of questions about the plea deal because he got nothing in return and pleaded to a mandatory life sentence in prison without parole. Nobody does that, Alex. So what was he promised, or how was he threatened to make him make that plea deal?
You know, McVeigh, his supposed accomplice, Nichols, signed a sworn affidavit, and we've confirmed separate parts of it from other witnesses, that McVeigh was a U.S. government agent, was told he was setting up militias, thought it was a bombing sting. When the bombing was going to go forward, he threw a fit, so they just set him up, and they told him they'd kill his whole family if he spoke out.
Yeah, maybe we have something like that going on here. I don't know, but I'm just saying the plea deal stinks. I don't know why it happened, but it happened 5 days after he said that he's going to call me as his only witness. And he takes a plea deal with nothing in return. He reads a statement that sounded like it was written by somebody at the Pentagon. It used words that I don't even think he knew what he was saying. You know, it was the perfect propaganda statement that he made when he took his plea deal, if you ask me.
And the propaganda, the sophisticated packaging, the PR rollout is always the signature of a false flag. For those that don't know, the New York Times and CBS News in 1993 reported that the FBI did cook the bomb, train the drivers, give them the detonators, and order the bombing of the World Trade Center using two low-grade moron, mentally ill people. And that could also be what this is. Mattal, of course, looks drugged most of the time. We'll discuss what this means straight ahead and the new patsies they're setting up.
crashing through the lies and disinformation. It's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
I'm here live Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Central. That's 12 noon to 3 p.m. Eastern. Back Sundays, 4 to 6 Central. That'd be 2 to 4 Pacific, 3 to 5 Mountain. Coming up, Jim Mars is going to be with us here on location at the historic and beautiful Lakewood Theater in Dallas, Texas. And unfortunately, this place only holds 800 people. It happened again. Every event I've ever had sold out. Sold out. I'm going to be giving a speech, Blueprint to Defeat the New World Order. And I am also going to be premiering a film. And Jim Mars is going to be speaking, and then I'm going to be in Orlando next week. And those tickets, that venue holds over 1,000. I've only got a couple hundred left. Find out more at Infowars.com/events. And I also have coming up David Sardi, who was one of the big stars of the reality TV show Preppers, Doomsday Preppers. And he went to the doctor and had medical problems. They said, your guns are now confiscated. They're taking veterans' guns. They're taking people's guns who have surgery. They're saying, well, you might get depressed, so we're going to go ahead and take your guns. So now when you get sick, they take your guns here in Land of the Slave, Home of the Coward, until we stand up and say no to it. Of course, there's no law saying that, but they still do it because it's a criminal, out-of-control government that wants victim disarmament. Now, we've only got about 10 minutes in this segment. I'm going to try to shut up and give him the floor. But when I think about the bizarreness of the story, Kurt Haskell, survivor of the underwear bombing with your wife, you witness it all, the weird guy videotaping it. They land the plane, take you off, say there's a bomb threat. They have their other agents on the plane. It's like out of a James Bond movie. And then you say you saw him get him on the aircraft. Oh, that's ridiculous. Then they admit the government helped get him on the aircraft, but let's not discuss that. And now tell folks what you talked about in your victim's statement and other points that you think are important here on the record, Kurt Haskell.
Sure. Well, if you're a victim of a crime, you get to make what's called a victim impact statement. You basically have to say how the crime affected you physically, emotionally, or financially. And you can basically talk about whatever you want in it as to the crime. So Judge Edmonds, however, Judge Edmonds limited us to 5 minutes per passenger only. So I had to really make it compact. So that's kind of what I did. And I wanted to write it out ahead of time because I thought if I was just going off the top of my head, I might say some things that would get me in trouble. Speech was pretty infuriating to the judge anyway, even my pre-prepared one. But I think if I went off top of my head, I might have started yelling at the prosecution or the judge or something. So I wanted to write it up. But basically, I just went through some of the things I mentioned here and, a few other points like I was at a hearing where the prosecution indicated it didn't want to give any of the evidence to standby attorney Chambers because then passengers could subpoena the evidence from him because he didn't have attorney-client privilege and use it to sue the government. And they said they were concerned about being sued. So, I brought up in my statement, why is the government concerned about being sued in this case? What are they hiding? So I brought that up. I brought up the fact that I went to the jury questioning hearings where they're questioning all the jurors and that Judge Edmonds kept asking them if you realize, do you realize that sometimes the media lies to you? And Chambers kept asking them, do you think after you look at the evidence, you'll be able to tell whether something is a bomb or not? Just things like that. One thing after another, after another, after another that shows that, yeah, this was indeed an intentional plot. Along with us sitting on the plane after it landed with pieces of a bomb everywhere, nobody caring. No one checking for our safety, even though when Umar got off the plane, he said there was another bomb on board. Nobody cared. Nobody checked anywhere.
You were just props to roll out the naked body scanners so that the outgoing head of Homeland Security, Lord Chertoff, can make some money. The guy that ordered the naked body scanners who then went to work for the company to get the payoff.
We're pawns in a big chess game. Nobody cared about us at all, but looking back, it's pretty obvious that they knew there weren't any concerns because it was a defective bomb. They knew it was a defective bomb. They knew there weren't any accomplices other than the ones in the U.S. government. They knew there weren't any other bombs on board, even though Umar said there was as he got off. And they knew we weren't in any danger with pieces of the bomb sitting everywhere as passengers trampled through it when we got off the plane. So, you know, looking back at it, I think it's very clear what went on, at least to me. And, you know, I said that in my victim impact statement, and Judge Edmonds was not happy with me. I was done with it, and she scowled at me, and then she said, my wife Lori had the next statement after I did, and she said, Ms. Haskell, I'm sure you're not going to say anything about a government conspiracy like your husband just did before you get up here, kind of intimidating her, which I think was
Have you ever heard of a judge admonishing a victim before they have their statement?
Never. Not only that, but she
I've never heard of that.
Never. It's totally unheard of. Not only that, she never said anything like that to Umar in over 2 years of the trial. You know, and I went to almost all the hearings. She never talked like that to him at all. But that's how mad she was at me for spilling the beans.
Yeah, you're saying it's all theater, it's all a matrix, it's all a hoax, and they don't like that. You know, it's kind of like it was even on the Discovery Channel years after. When I was first in about 97, I've been on the air a few years, told by police officers who I've interviewed on air with their names, who the FBI came to their houses and said, we'll kill you and your family if you talk about what witnesses told you, which was FBI agents planting bombs with ATF agents inside the Oklahoma City building. And I mean, I've had the cops on. They'd even threaten them in the police station. They'd come in and say, we'll kill you and your wife. And I've had those cops on, like Mr. Browning, the K-9 sergeant. And he's like, you're going to kill me and my wife? They're like, yeah, we're going to kill you. And I mean, that's just how this works, because they just killed a bunch of kids in a daycare center. Why not? Why not go all the way here? I mean, you know, kill 3,000 on 9/11. But I was told this by police officers and others in like 97, and I still couldn't believe it. And then it was even in the L.A. Times that the government confiscated 20-plus videotapes showing the other bombers of Oklahoma City and were suppressing it. And that the ATF, same thing the police had told me, had practiced 6 months before Oklahoma City in New Mexico at a testing range, blowing up a Ryder truck with Ryder on the side with fuel oil in it. I mean, how much more obvious does this have to get, Kurt? I mean, they're doing this to be able to take our rights and get giant budgets and ship guns into Mexico to then blame the Second Amendment with Fast and Furious. They got caught there, killed over 2,000 people, the Mexican government says, killed three cops, two Border Patrol here at least. They're caught. Nobody gets in trouble, Kurt. That's a false flag where they got caught, Kurt.
You're right. And this one is, too. You know, but you're totally right. What do we do about it? But the other problem is the media. The mainstream media is a massive, massive problem in this because they just won't report it. You know, I saw it the other day when I was in court. They should have blasted.
Tell you what, stay there. We got to go to break, don't we? So I think I hear music, don't I? Yeah, we're going to be back in 30 seconds. Kurt, I want to give you a final statement on the other side, then we'll get our next guest on, but I want you to finish. I have to tell you, I had to risk my viewers and listeners. Hope you realize the magnitude of these terrorists we're fighting.
I was a highwayman along the coach roads.
Oh, I love me some highwayman. Many a young maid lost her baubles to my trade. Many a soldier shed his lifeblood on my blade. The bastards killed me.
The bastards hung me in the spring of 25. But I am still alive.
And I was a sailor. Good old Chris Christopherson does this line. But Austin's own Willie Nelson was just doing the intro. We got our next guest coming up here in a moment, and then we're going to get Jim Mars in studio, or on location, I should be more accurate, here in Dallas, Texas, where I'm about to speak to a capacity crowd. You know, it's always sad to turn away people. There's like a line of people out there with the tickets sold out. And I think they're going to let some of them in standing room only, but I should have got a bigger venue. But I just love this theater. I grew up in Dallas, just down the street from here, and came and saw like movies like Dumbo and stuff when they'd re-air old Disney movies. You know, I wish the world was all happy like Dumbo, flapping around with his ears. I wish the Federal Reserve wasn't private. I wish pigs did fly. But the New World Order is in charge, and we've got to change that. Finishing up with Kurt Haskell. Kurt, I want to get you on during the week, if you can, for a full hour. I know you couldn't come on Friday. You were busy with clients and people as a lawyer. But give out your website and in 2 minutes, closing statement on what people need to know about the underwear bombing, the Christmas Day bombing.
Sure. Well, you can read my blog. I've been blogging about this incident since it happened. HaskellFamily.blogspot.com. You'll have to go all the way back to Christmas Day 09, read forward between all of our other posts. It's just a family blog. It's not about the underwear bomber specifically, so keep that in mind. But the other aspect that we haven't really touched on a lot with the underwear bomber is the complicity of the media. This is a huge problem that the media just won't report the story. You know, if they did, there would be people outraged over this, millions of people, and this sort of thing would probably stop.
But yeah, the watchdog isn't there so the crooks in government can get away with bloody murder.
Right. And a good example was on Thursday when I made my victim impact statement. There were only five of us that made victim impact statements, and three of them spoke with very thick accents. I could hardly understand them. The fourth one was my wife, Lori, whose statement didn't have a lot of facts in it because she was intimidated by the judge's statement right before she got up there, and mine, where I just ripped the government, ripped the media for not reporting on the story. But if you look at the media articles about me, hardly anything's mentioned, or they'll say that.
What about a judicial complaint against the judge for a victim, your wife, just a few rows away from his firecracker bomb, and then she's intimidated from not giving her statement by this judicial tyrant?
I think she's actually going to file one. She wrote one up last week. I don't know if she's
good or not, but I think
she's actually going to file one. She's pretty irritated over it. But, yeah, the media is a huge problem. You know, hardly anyone reported on it. I talked to them afterward. I hardly appear anywhere. You know, one of them had the nerve to ask me, why did you feel the need to make that statement in open court today? And I said, are you kidding me? Because you never report any of this. Anyway, that's just my
question. You're not supposed to talk about what's really going on. You're supposed to, oh, it's in all the federal courts. The government ships the narcotics in and ships guns into Mexico, but we're going to only talk about the gun part, not the drug part. I mean, sure, it's in federal court, but you don't discuss the fact that the government's really a mafia. Why, they might come after us. We've all got to bend over to whatever they say, because that's what America's about. Kurt, thank you so much. We'll talk to you next week if you can do it.
Anytime, Alex. Glad to be on.
Glad to have you. Okay, there goes Kurt Haskell, and we're going to dial up via Skype because the audio is better for our radio listeners and for video viewers at PrisonPlanet.tv, David Sardi. And doomsday preppers. Government hoards food. Government hoards water. Government hoards giant stockpiles of nuclear weapons and biological weapons, and that's reasonable and good to have a 20-year food supply and underground reactors and underground reservoirs and giant armored mountains like Mount Weather and Cheyenne Mountain and Colorado Springs and all the rest of it. But if you have a fallout shelter or a storm shelter for hurricanes or tornadoes, if you even dare attempt in any way to have firearms and a year's supply of food and can some stuff like our forefathers just 50 years ago were doing. Forget forefathers, just 50 years ago that was standard. It is bizarre behavior. You can go to Communities Against Terrorism subsection of FBI.gov. There's literally hundreds of flyers they put out, and they tell repair people when they're in your house, do they have ammo reloading equipment? Do they have storable food? Did you see an arsenal of guns as if underground railways and all these systems that are admitted? But if we try to be prepared, we are evil. We are bad. It is crazy. I mean, I was crazy 13 years ago with Economist on the air warning of the end of the Glass-Steagall Act and the derivatives would be used to implode our economy and basically bring in a world government. And of course, now they've announced the world government run by the mega banks that sold us the derivatives. It's in The Economist magazine, Reuters, AP. Ban Ki-moon called for it 2 weeks ago. But I'm still the bad man. I'm still the bad man. See, because being proven right in America and worldwide, that's what's wrong. If you're one of these CNBC liars giving you bad stock picks all day and wrong about 85% of the time, that's good. Being bad is being right, you see. So they have these shows. They try to pick eccentric people out and then try to make it look crazy that to prepare. And they've got executive orders to confiscate from hoarders. They call more than 1 week of food under executive orders. Look it up. Just type in executive order outlawing hoarding of food. It'll come up. It's been reissued more than 20 times because each new president has to reissue it or reissue a variance on it. And it's been going on since Kennedy. And sometimes they reissue changes every year on it. So it's more than 20 times they've changed it. But it's all there. Takeover of communications. Takeover of all agriculture. Confiscation of all food. Confiscation of all firearms. It's all on the books. On the books! But our next guest, one of the most popular individuals on the hit, and I mean hit, everybody I know talks about it. I don't really watch a lot of mainline TV, so I've only seen clips online, but everyone out there talks about doomsday hoarders on the CIA-run History Channel, or not History Channel, Nat Geo, same thing. So National Geographic, and he's on there. And a week ago, he put out articles on YouTube saying, help me. I went to the doctor, and they took my guns. And I've actually seen cases in the news, and we're going to them here in a moment, where you have heart surgery, and they say, we think you might be depressed. Go on Prozac. And when you say no, they say, well, that's mental illness, not believing your doctor. We're taking your guns. Or sometimes the government just seizes you and even takes your property. They don't just have CPS that grabs kids, communist pedophile services. They also have these elder service people. And I'm not saying everybody in the bureaucracy is evil, but the overall driving force is. But here he is. I see cases in the news. They admit after Clinton left office, 89,000 veterans had their right to Second Amendment taken because they collapsed in Vietnam or got shot. They just added to their file post-traumatic stress disorder, even though they didn't even have it. No judge, no jury. Not even the 68 Gun Control Act says it. They lost their Second Amendment. And so I talked to so many vets who go to buy their grandson at 22. You know, they're 60-year-old Vietnam veteran. And they're just like, sorry, you can't buy it. And he goes, but I have no criminal record. Call the FBI. They call him. And they go, we got some mental illness in your Army file, your Marine Corps file, your Navy file. I know clerks from the military who were never even in combat who can't own guns now. Side issue. Let's go to the mind criminal, the evil person, the thought criminal that would dare try to store food. David Sardi, good to have you on with us. We're going to break in a moment, but just give us a taste of what's coming up. Tell us what. Hold on. There's the break. I'm on the road. Don't have my clock in front of me, my trusty atomic clock. We're going to go to David Sardi right here. We'll do two segments with him and maybe even longer because Jim Mars just got here. But there's a Mexican food restaurant next door. He's here with his wife and family. He's like, can I get some enchiladas? And I'm like, you know what? Enchiladas and cold beer, that supersedes a radio show. Go over there and pound down some yummies.
We now take you live to the Central Texas Command Center and the heart of the resistance, rallying patriots worldwide. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
So the victim disarmament crowd that takes our tax money and creates a giant government armed to the teeth and training for war against the people, including 30,000 drones the federal government has now funded against the American people, spy satellites watching U.S. farmers for environmentalists that want to steal their property. It's all happening. And you go into the doctor, and, well, a few days later, they come and take all your guns. When you try to buy a gun, they say, well, you can't have one. And joining us is David Sardi of Doomsday Preppers on Nat Geo. Very popular individual out there, tens of millions a week that watch him, but he can't own a gun. No judge, no jury. Guilty until proven slave. Joining us is David. David, go ahead. Tell us what happened to you, my friend.
Well, I heard you talking about the veteran stuff. I don't know if you can see that right there. That's called an honorable discharge. I do have one of those. But anyway, I'm going to try to edit down this. Last year, back in, say, November, I thought I was having a heart attack. I was having chest pains, felt like I was suffocating. So I went to my doctor, and he referred me to this cardiologist. So that cardiologist sent me to some tests at a hospital. A month and a half goes by, and I haven't heard nothing from this guy. So I called him up, made an appointment. I went there, and he said, well, they didn't see nothing wrong with my heart. And I told him, I said, well, whatever was wrong, you know, I said, look, this was, you know, I felt like I was suffocating, and this was the closest I ever came to feel like committing suicide. Well, you know, that started it off. He said, are you going to commit suicide? I said, no, I'm not going to commit suicide. I'm not suffocating. I said, you know, suffocation, you know, drowning and stuff like that.
You're saying it was a figure of speech. It was a figure of speech.
Right. If I was, you know, it's like if the people that jumped out of the World Trade Center when it was burning, you know, what, you're going to burn, you're going to jump. You know, you got a choice. But anyway.
I told him I'm not going to commit suicide, man.
Right. I told him flat out I'm not. And he says, well, you know, when we could stick these tubes in you, you know, he's going to do some kind of trach and make it so you could breathe. I says, you know, if I have to live with tubes in me, I'd just as soon, you know, not get treated and go on. And, well, then he said, well, that sounds like suicidal to me. So I said, no, it's not. And then he says, well, you know, he mentioned that it wasn't my decision. And me being a libertarian, that flew all over me. So I proceeded to get...
Oh, you know, not your decision. You will take the vaccines. You will eat GMO. You will take the fluoride. You will do what the little secret police officer, just like Hitler, right, hired all the doctors to work for him. Oh.
I said, look, everybody at one time or another thinks about it. And he said, well, I've never thought about it. And I called him, basically told him it was full of donkey poo. So... anyway, you know, that went on, and finally he said,
he was full of Bill Clinton.
Yeah. I thought, he said, you needed to go talk to somebody at the emergency room. I said, I don't have time. You know, I can't afford that emergency room. I got animals to feed on the farm.
You said, you're full of Janet Reno. You're full of Janet Napolitano.
Right.
He said, he says, get over there to the emergency room. And he said, you're full of the federal government. Go ahead.
Yeah, and then, you know, I said, look, I don't have time for this. I have animals. I got dogs locked up in the house and you know, and everything else. So I went out in the hall, and I heard him calling the sheriff's office. So I skedaddled, and I went home. And maybe
again, they're
minutes.
Just looking because the government's turning them into spies, and coffee shop people are told, folks that are buying cash, call the FBI on them. That's an actual FBI flyer. I'm not joking, folks. I got a video up on Infowars.com about it. My point here is, you're like simply saying, I'm having chest pains. God, this is horrible. It's like, maybe I want to kill myself. It's so horrible. You're not going to kill yourself. No, it's a figure of speech. We're going to stick tubes down you and trach you. Well, that's crazy. I'm walking around here in your hospital. I'm saying I've got pain here. And then he's like, well, this is just the way it is. And look, I've had allergy attacks so bad when I made a mistake and rode a bike long distance, like 20 miles, about 5 years ago with my buddy. I went on this long distance, 20-mile, a lot of it mountain biking, while the cedar was popping, or the mountain juniper is what it really is. We call it cedar. And I'm driving home, and I feel like I'm having a heart attack. I can't breathe. Then I get a migraine. And I went to the doctor the next day, and they said, you had a complete allergy attack. This has happened to a lot of people. After I explained I'd been exercising, I'd smelled so much of that cedar that it just coated everything, including my lungs and everything. But I guess I deserve to have my guns taken. Continuing. So you go out there in the hall. He is now calling the sheriff.
Right. Well, I heard, you know, about the sheriff, so I left and I went home. And anyway, about 10 minutes after I got here, the sheriff deputies come up, and, you know, the logic of sending somebody with a gun after somebody that's going to commit suicide fails me. But, you know, I went out there and talked to them, and they told me that I was going to have to come with them, and finally, he said, well, you know, you go to the hospital, they'll turn you loose, and he'll even give me a ride back home. So I said, all right, let's get this straightened out. So they didn't cuff me or nothing. They put me in the car, and they took me to the hospital. Well, I talked to this other woman, I guess she was a doctor, after sitting there for about an hour, and, you know, talked to her, and I signed an agreement saying, look, I'm not going to commit suicide and all like that. So an hour more goes by. And then, you know, I was like, hey, wait a minute. You know, what's going on here? And then I says, well, look, I'm a prisoner. I considered myself a prisoner, and I stopped cooperating. So I said, no, you're not getting no more blood pressures. I'm not talking to you no more. I want an attorney. And as soon as I said that, that's when they put me in the mental institution at McFarland for observation. And
again, just like the Soviets and the Nazis and the Communist Chinese, every dictatorship in the last 100 years has used the mental system as a way to get around due process that everybody fought for. And, you know, there's a crazy guy on the street corner who thinks he's Joan of Arc. They let him run around with feces running down their legs, drinking Schlitz malt liquor all day. They could care less if you commit suicide. They could care less if you're really crazy. They use it to harass people politically. And I've seen this so many times. So continue. Next, you get your guns taken, correct?
Well, no. They took my rights. I found out about it by accident. I mean, I just got the letter saying I had to surrender my my handgun permit, but I found out about it because I had been saving up for a Glock 21, and I got out a week later. I had the money. I got my YouTube money, and I said, I'm going to go get my Glock. I got turned down. So then I did an immediate appeal right there as soon as I got turned down, and that's when I found out about the paper. You have been declared a mental defective.
And by the way, the federal 68 Gun Control Act doesn't give them the power to do that. You had not been adjudicated mentally ill or committed, but they just color of law do it. It's felons under the 68 Gun Control Act that can't own guns, but it's just like color of law how they ban importation of guns to this country. It's not a law, but like Obama promised to do to Sarah Brady 2 years ago, he said, don't worry, I'm going to get their guns under the radar, like shipping guns to Mexico to blame the Second Amendment.
Well, basically, I was put in there. I feel they put me in there because I made them mad because I said I was being a prisoner, and I called them a bunch of basically, I told them they were Gestapo at the hospital. Oh, we're doctors. They say you're not a prisoner. I said, can I go? They said no. I said, I'm a prisoner, and you're keeping me here against my will. So, you know,
they take people's kids that don't take vaccines at birth, even though there's no law. They are a bunch of authoritarian scum. I have witnessed it myself. They might be a nice person to play golf with or go to church with, but they're on these little power trips, and our rights mean jack diddly squat to them.
Well, see, that's when they wanted, you know, when I got to the hospital, I got this other little doctor that wants to give me these things called Zeprahodone, whatever it is. It's a psychotropic drug, and I refuse that. So that was another black mark because I was refusing their drugs.
You got to take their deadly chemical weapons or you're evil.
Yeah, so...
Which, by the way, those psychotropic drugs on the insert say they make you crazy and make you commit suicide.
Oh, that's what
it took us years to get it.
Yeah, I got the printout of the drug immediately from the nurse's station, and I read all the stuff, and that's one of the things it says. It says,
but see, because you're the type that would read a drug insert, you're the bad man. You're the terrorist. You're the problem. We'll be right back. We'll give people your YouTube channel, and I'm going to get you on later this week for a full hour to talk about how we support you, because if we don't hang together, we hang separate. If they can trump up charges to take your Second Amendment, they can do it to anybody. I'm Alex Jones, live from the Lakewood Theater in Austin, Texas. Well, we're broadcasting from Austin, Texas, in Dallas, Texas. I'm evil. I need to have my guns taken. I got the city wrong.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Oh, who's that? It's Jim Mars coming up after the break. Best-selling author. First guy to teach a class on the JFK assassination at college level, former crime reporter for the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. He's here with me in Dallas at the historic Lakewood that was Built before you were born, buddy, and me too. Now, listen, David, your case is the same thing that millions of Americans are putting up with every year. But because you are prominent and a well-spoken guy, I want to try to help you out as best we can. I want to get you back on the show for a full hour so you can really break all this down and take calls and hear from other victims of this extrajudicial medical tyranny. But the 4 or 5 minutes we've got left with you, you've got the floor. Where are you now? What else happened? You've been calling for help. You haven't gotten any. Your Second Amendment's just gone. There's no judge. There's no jury. The FBI instant check won't let you have your Second Amendment.
Well, I'm in the middle of a bunch of appeals. I talked to a Gun Owners of America attorney, and he said what I should do by myself. And then I got this other letter from the state. See, there was a bunch of petitions going to the governor. Somebody else, one of my viewers, started it, and apparently it got the governor's attention, which then sent me to immediately to the Department of Safety, which then immediately sent out a letter asking for my carry permit. Now, I've had a carry permit since they began. I mean, I've never been in any trouble.
By the way, you don't need a permit for your right to own a gun.
No, it was the thought behind the permit thing was they just wanted people to know, you know. In other words, you had to go out and show that you could actually shoot one and hit the target. That's what it was.
Sure, sure. No,
to
I understand
for.
All that, but so like, where is it going now?
So right now with that, it's going to be more expensive than I thought. I thought it was just going to be get an attorney and we'll fight it and get me off the Knicks. Well, with this latest letter, that means it's going to be at the federal and the state and the local level. So it's going to be going through three separate courts in order to fight this. So
now again, no judge, no jury, no conviction. You weren't adjudicated as mentally ill. Just some little control freak at a doctor's office because you wouldn't let him cut your throat open and shove tubes down you. And you know who knows, shove up what other places. Now the little trendies have taken your Second Amendment.
Yeah, well, they've done that, and it's probably more than I can handle by myself. I mean,
we're going to get you back on in the next few days on the big weekday show, but this one's big as well. But the weekday show's got about twice as many listeners. What? So let me just say this now: give people your YouTube channel, email address for folks that want to help you, constitutional lawyers, people that want to support you in other ways. You got a lot of fans out there, brother, and they're the ones that are mentally ill. The people that want your guns are the bad guys. Your fans and you and me, we're the people that aren't crazy. We're the real Americans with these body snatcher, New World Order commies telling us that we're bad. So tell folks your contact info.
Okay, I am DSardy1, first initial, last name, and the numeral 1 at YouTube. That's my YouTube channel, and my Hotmail is davidsardy@hotmail.com. I sent through Skype a link that I made up for a donate link to the legal thing. Something you did say that needs to be done. Anybody that has a case similar to mine needs to contact the Gun Owners of America because they said that this is something that they have documented happening before. So they need.
Wait. Gun owners are saying they have documented or they haven't.
They have. They apparently this is an abuse of power that they.
No,
may
no.
Want
this
to get
happens
involved.
All the time. This is now millions.
Mm-hmm.
Now is that an Al Qaeda operative in the background? Because if a dog barks, that's a sign of evil as well. Perhaps that dog should be put on Prozac or have its teeth taken away. It's Second Amendment.
Well, they're looking toward the front gate, so they may be giving me an alarm that the goon squad is out there. But, yeah.
You mean our government owners? David, I want you back on for an hour this week. This is a big issue. God bless you. Thanks for coming on, and we're in your corner.
All right, thanks.
You bet. Jim Mars, everybody's favorite garden gnome, straight ahead.
What? We've got here is failure to communicate. Some men you just can't reach. So you get what we had here last week, which is the way he wants it. Well, he gets it. I don't like it.
Waging war on corruption It's Alex Jones.
Look at your young men fighting.
I'm your backup.
Look at your women crying. Look at your young men dying. The way they've always done before.
All right, we're back live, and Jim Mars is here with us on location. He was showing me what he bought at the Walmart earlier. They're selling little scissors. Part of the new sacrament in America is that all the feminists chop their husbands' testicles off so that they learn how to serve the New World Order better.
No, every reporter has to have one of these so you can clip out clippings so you keep up with everything.
Exactly.
And when people say, how do you know that? You go, here, I've got a news clipping.
Exactly. It's documented. That was an attempted lame humor, and I apologize to the family audience out there. I'm a little bit out of control. Jim Mars started his career as a crime reporter on the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. He's been covering the JFK assassination forever. And on top of that, he wrote the book that was used as the primary tome for the hit film JFK with Oliver Stone. And he joins us here at the Lakewood Theater in Dallas, Texas. This way you don't have to drive to Austin to be on the show.
That's right.
So you're right here with us. And I should be plugging our Dallas affiliate, which I'll do actually in the next segment.
You want me to tell you how many RFID readers and photo cameras I passed coming down I-30?
How many?
Well, I was counting them. There's like about 27 or 28.
Yeah, but 20 years ago when you warned people about that, it wasn't going to happen.
Oh, I was the conspiracy theorist and nut.
And, of course, world government wasn't going to happen. Now it's all public.
Right.
And the very bankers that international bankers aren't going to get us. That's a conspiracy theory. But now the big mega banks are taking over.
Listen, 30 or 40 years ago when I was working, I worked with a guy who was with PR advertising for some big banks, and we used to joke about it. He'd say, listen, when they send you that World Bank card, don't take it. You know, and now we all have one.
Oh, Time Magazine says the Bank of the World and authoritarianism, but bankers, these aren't dictators. These are technocratic bankers. They're going to run everything, and they're going to raise your taxes, but they care about you.
I don't think so.
Oh, but the big six banks fund eugenics and say they want to kill us. I mean, that's loving.
Hey,
it's for the earth.
They were just uncovering a big banking scandal over in England right now, and the guy got up in the House of Lords and said, you know, this amount of money we're talking about here could actually provide basic health care to every man, woman, child in America for 12 years. That's how much money, folks, is flowing out of this country.
The wealthy West funds the mega corporations, world government. Our tax money isn't just corporate welfare. It's empire welfare.
That's right.
And we don't even get the booty.
No.
I mean, even if you were immoral, it's like you're paying for it. You're not getting anything back.
No, they get the booty. We just get the boot.
Exactly. That'd be a good bumper sticker. Let me bring this up. What is it like for you fighting the New World Order now for 30-plus years? Very prominent all over every History Channel, Discovery Channel, ABC. I mean, you're the go-to guy. Half the time I walk around the office, they'll have some History Channel or Discovery Channel show on, and there's Jim Mars. What is it like for you to go from, that guy that's a conspiracy theorist, to now secret arrest of citizens, military on the streets, license plate reading cameras, world government? But we're right about it all, but still we're bad. I mean, how do you describe that?
That's exactly right. Well, I've been kind of on the cutting edge all along because, you know, back in the mid-60s, I said, hey, the Kennedy assassination, that's a big conspiracy. Oh, you're just a nut. And then I said, you know, Vietnam, this war, it's going to end badly. Oh, you're just a nut. Hey, I said, Nixon's a crook. He's not going to serve out his term. Now you're just a nut. And so it just goes on and on and on. But when you stay ahead of the curve, see, now I try to tell them, hey, they're spraying us with chemtrails, you know. Oh, you're just a nut.
Even though the government admits, but says it's a secret program.
Oh,
it's you're kooky to ask. But there is a program, $7 billion a year at least, but don't discuss it.
And patents that they filed.
Sure, but they don't discuss it, though.
But no, we don't want to do that. And then, I try to talk about, you can even go to 9/11, and there's the theory that some of those airplanes have been captured, the computer captured
remote control.
By remote control.
They don't have drones. Don't exist.
You can't do that. And now I go to the movies and see ads for the Air Force, and they're saying, hey, come join the Air Force. You can sit down there.
Joe Kennedy's son died in World War II. too.
In a remote-controlled plane.
Well, yeah, you know. Well, he was in the plane behind the big bomber that would use as a cruise missile. Yeah,
right.
Remote-controlling it.
Yeah.
But didn't exist in 43, though.
That was in 43. In the 1980s, I was interviewing an airline pilot for a big Boeing wide-body jet, and he said, you know, my job's just redundant. And I said, what do you mean? He said, well, the computer flies the airplane. He said, I'm just there in case the computer breaks.
Listen, I want somebody to find this, because I saw this live on C-SPAN. And it was a New York City police press conference with this weird soundboard. It's like cream-colored with holes in it behind them. Everybody knows what I'm talking about if you watch New York press conferences. And George W. Bush, the president's come to New York the day after. He's given his, you know, we're going to get the people to knock these towers down speech. And he gets up and he goes, don't worry. We've got remote control on all the aircraft in the future. We're going to be able to stop them from doing this. And actually, somebody behind him reaches up and jerks on his shirt. And he goes, oh. But I mean, I saw this.
I know you did, because what I have documented is that early in 2001, months before 9/11, the head of British Airways made a talk and said, you know, we don't have to worry about hijacking anymore because we now have the ability to capture the onboard computers and we can guide it into a safe landing regardless of what the crew or the hijackers want.
And then later I found out they actually, on those two aircraft that were used, they have the exact system was in place.
Exactly. You know, but of course, that's just conspiracy theory, right?
They don't have remote control aircraft.
Well,
entire Air Force in 8 years is going to be totally drone, but, you know, it doesn't exist.
Right, but that doesn't exist. Well, it's the difference between people who know things and people who watch television.
I think that is the difference. Of course, we make television. You know, right. We don't watch it, but we are on television.
Right. Well, you know what I'm talking about. Somebody who comes back from home from work, you know, sits down.
No, they keep us on the treadmill.
Watches CNN.
They're on that gerbil.
Right.
We're not bashing folks.
Watches Fox, you know, and then goes to bed, thinks they've learned everything. And if they don't see it on CNN or Fox or read it in their local syndicated newspaper, then, you know, it can't be real.
Well, Jim.
And yet all you have to do is look around you, see what's going on. Do I understand that now the TSA is starting to set up spot checkpoints in Dallas?
Remember me years ago. I saw them on C-SPAN. They always tell us 9 years ago. They hadn't even made Homeland Security cabinet yet. It was 2002, early 2002, a few months before they made it an official agency of the cabinet under executive power. And they said, you're going to have to get TSA to get a job. We're going to be on every street corner, and it's going to be kind of a federal force everywhere. And we're going to train your police. And there'll be threat fusion centers. They had all these corporate leaders there, yes. So I've been telling folks, TSA's coming to your streets. They're now in every major city. And I've seen newscasts where you're driving down the road in Tennessee or Michigan,
right,
and they actually grab your wife out and grab her breasts on the side of the highway.
Okay,
it's a total act of submission.
Now, answer me this, because it's all due to 9/11, and it's all due to the fear of the terrorism, right? Exactly how many terrorists has the TSA caught?
They admit zero.
Zero. None.
But the Dallas Morning News says,
none.
Thank God they're helping. Forget 10th Amendment, states' rights. They're going to be at all the DART stations now there, and they're going to have to fill your genitals.
Well, see, then you can, using that same logic, you could say that they're protecting us from the vampires.
Exactly.
Have you seen a vampire around lately?
No. Well, I saw Janet Napolitano.
Well, yeah, but she...
We're not sure.
We're not sure about her.
She's a dung beetle.
So, see, the TSA has protected us from vampires. Because we don't see any around.
Well, I used to make the joke that, hey, there could be a terrorist in a cornfield in South Dakota, send troops there. And now the government's saying, oh, yes, anywhere. We've got to protect you, so we've got to be everywhere.
That's right.
Who protects us from them, though?
Exactly. Who will watch the watchers?
Now, we're going to go to break in a moment, and I want to take some calls, you know, not in this next segment, but the segments after that. What is... Because I never do pre-interviews. You know this, my friend. What is front and center on your radar screen when we come back that Jim Mars is going to have the floor while I hit the latrine? Joking. I'll do that during the break. What is Jim Mars going to be covering?
Well, that's a good question. I just seem to take questions because there's so much going on, it's hard to pinpoint it.
You want to do that?
Yeah. I mean, you know, my big thing is if we're really supposed to be so afraid of worldwide well-financed, well-heeled, deadly terrorist organization, Al-Qaeda, then the first thing it seems to be that we should be doing is securing the border. And yet, you probably saw the news film where they used a carjack and jacked up the fence. You know?
Stay there. I want to hear about this when we get back.
Look at the shoes you're filling. Look at the blood we're spilling. Look at the world we're killing.
All right, Alex Jones here on the road, coming to you from Dallas, Texas, where I'm going to premiere a film and give a speech tonight. I invited Jim over. I'm glad he accepted. Coming up in the next two final segments, we're going to open the phones up for your questions or comments for Jim Mars or other issues you want to raise. The toll-free number to join us is 877-789-ALEX, 877-789-ALEX. If you want to join us, again, 877-789-ALEX, here on this live Sunday edition. But Jim, during the break, you thought, wow, what do I want to talk about? What is most important on my radar? And you said it was?
Yeah, the move to try to get us into a war with Iran. You know, I mean, they've been trying this since the Bush administration. Everybody thought, oh, well, that was Obama. And are we any better off? No, they're pushing for war, too. In fact, let me ask you, Alex, and I know you know this, of all the possible Republican candidates and Democratic candidates out there, who's the only one that says maybe we shouldn't go to war?
Well, he's the guy named Ron Paul.
You're not supposed to mention him. He's a non-person.
He can't win, even though he's number two or number three in all polls.
And I don't know.
Gets 70%+ all the military donations because the military doesn't like him.
He gets more donations from the military than anybody
During some of these debates, they're like, how dare you not want war? How dare you hate our troops?
Of course,
they all support him. But
the troops got it. In fact, but listen to this. This tells us a lot. He's got the most campaign contributions and support from the Army, the Navy, the Air Force. But wait a minute. According to the campaign numbers, the money coming from the Department of Defense, the Pentagon, zero. Now, doesn't that tell you something?
Oh, yeah. I saw those numbers. So the foreign banks that run
the
our
Pentagon,
military,
yeah,
they know he's an American, so he's the enemy.
That's right.
But isn't it encouraging that the military is awake?
They are, and I have recently been talking to some...
That march happened today. Guys, will you look up what's happening with that D.C. march, with the veterans marching? What
yes.
happened with that?
Yes.
I'm going to ask the crew to look that up with Adam Kokesh. We had him on. I want to cover that. Go ahead.
Well, I want to just say this, because I have a charge for the United States Army. I've served, okay? I've been in the military. In fact, I was in military intelligence, which even then I thought was kind of a dichotomy of terms. But what I want to say is that the oath of allegiance I took going into the U.S. military was to serve and protect the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign or domestic.
Does that mean big foreign megabanks robbing us blind with...
In fact, to me, the most serious enemies we have today are domestic. Now, the reason I bring this up, Alex, is because I've also seen the directives that have gone out to military people, couched in so many terms, but basically saying you should not participate in any of these demonstrations or any of these marches that could be a violation of the uniform.
But Obama and a Bush are allowed to have them ordered out to stand behind them at campaign speeches.
Right, right. The point, though, here is that in the military, you are sworn to defend the Constitution of the United States. And you're also told that you do not have to obey an illegal order. Okay? The Constitution says we have freedom of speech. And in the military, as long as it's not security connected, you should have freedom of speech.
Yeah, you don't have it.
Especially if you're off duty.
When you're on duty, you don't.
Yeah, so if you're ordered not to go participate in a...
You're still an American just because you're in the military?
That's an illegal order.
It is?
It's an illegal order because it violates the Constitution of the United States and the First Amendment. And your first obligation in the U.S. military is to defend the Constitution of the United States.
And here's how they try to play that ignorance of the military, not just on saying, as the Navy put out, don't go to this Ron Paul demonstration or you'll be reprimanded.
Right.
Incredible. When they've always been told...
That's an illegal order, by the way, folks. Guys and gals in the military, that's an illegal order.
It is.
It violates the Constitution, which supersedes any other regulation or law.
Marbury versus Madison. They could pass a law saying you can barbecue black children on the White House lawn or whatever, and right. it's illegal. I don't care if you say you have a law. Hitler had laws, but it was pure bull. But expanding.
All those people killed in the Holocaust were done under the color of law.
That's right.
Judges ruled on it, and they went right on, and it was all there.
Listen, black people were slaves in this country and then couldn't own guns under law.
And it was the
law. You know
law.
What? If they said blacks weren't human tomorrow and were slaves, I say your law is full of garbage.
That's right.
Because the Constitution points out This doesn't give you your rights. It points out rights that are there. And people criticize the founders that there was problems up front. It was those ideas that led to the abolition of slavery.
That's right.
But expanding. Under law, they can't give troops experimental vaccines. But they try to.
But they do it all the time.
And the troops had to learn, wait, you're not allowed to give me an experimental shot. So what if you say it's an order? The law says you can't do that. Again, they try to keep the troops, like the public, in the dark. But the fact that Ron Paul supporters in the military are 70%+, that's got to scare the system, Jim.
Well, it makes me feel good because I'm hoping that it means 70% of our military, which is there to defend the country, is there to defend me, not the banks, not the multinational corporations.
But I'd forgotten that number, the Department of Defense.
Zero.
And all those big defense contractors, zero.
No, they don't want Ron Paul. And by the way, the next time somebody tells you, well, you know, I kind of like what Ron Paul says, but, you know, he won't be elected and I don't want to waste my vote. You tell them, listen, jerk, if you'd actually vote for him, and then if all those people who said, well, I like what he says, but he's unelectable, would actually vote for him, he'd probably get elected.
Well, that's that mind game that, yeah, that we're going to say who you can vote for.
Exactly. And I'll tell you what, and here's the whole thing. Everyone who's listening to this, you've got to take it on yourself. You can't, you know, you can't just count on Alex to take care of everything. You can't count on me. You can't count on anybody. You can only count on yourself. And what do? You've got to wake your fellow citizens up. And I don't mean preaching to them because that's not going to do any good. But start asking them questions and just get them to thinking and just say, like, you know, I mentioned, I think, in the last quarter, say, wait a minute, if we're supposed to be so afraid of this international terrorist organization, Al-Qaeda, that is trying to slip weapons of mass destruction into our country and is so evil, then how come they haven't done one solid thing to secure the border? Get them thinking about that. Wait a minute. Well, why haven't they? And that's because, let me tell you, folks, this is where the New World Order has kind of tripped up themselves. They don't want a secure border. They want open borders so they can flood this country and dilute the population, get us all conflicted, fighting with each other, so that they can push through their agendas.
That's the Balkanization amended plan.
The Balkanization of America, absolutely. So they don't want a secure border, and yet they want us all fearful of this international terrorist organization. So wait a minute, you can't have both. If the terrorist organization is real, then we need to secure the border. And if it's not real, then we can talk about loosening up the border. But there's no discussion of that. We're supposed to believe in these two, you know, totally opposite themes. It's ridiculous. Get people to thinking and ask them about, well, what do you suppose brought down that third tower in New York on 9/11? And I guarantee you 9 out of 10 of them are going to say, what tower? You say, well, the Solomon Brothers building. And they're going to say, what? And then you say, oh, well, you didn't know that another building fell down that afternoon.
That's just search Building 7.
Just go get on the internet, go search Building 7. Get them to think and start waking people
good
up.
Good points. More news, phone calls straight ahead. Live from Dallas, Texas, here at the Lakewood Theater, I'm Alex Jones, and this is InfoWars.com. You're a best-selling author many times over. Briefly, you weren't asking for a plug, but it's such great writing. Tell folks about a couple of your last books, any new stuff you've got coming out, and tell us about the website before we go to phone calls.
Okay. Well, for those of you who try to talk to your friends and or family and explain what's really going on today, and they go, well, what? How do you know that? Hey, I've never heard of that. You can't prove that. Get my book, The Trillion Dollar Conspiracy, a New York Times bestseller, and it tells you what's wrong, and why it's wrong and who's behind it, who's to blame, and what you can do about it. And it's fully documented, so you can go to the website, you can go to the books, and you can say, here's what's going on. Now, for the ones that really want to get advanced and find out, well, what's the big picture, what it's really all about, then I would suggest reading my book, Rule by Secrecy.
Excellent book.
There you go. And that will give you the whole nine yards.
The whole national security state. We've given the ultra-rich the power to operate in total secrecy with unlimited money. Of course they're running wild.
Exactly. And if you want to pinpoint who...
It'd be like if you left your house with four or five 11-year-olds for a month or teenagers with Jack Daniels and machine guns.
And tell them, don't get in the booze.
Oh, yeah.
And if you want to find out, really, if you want to really get horrified, then read my New York Times bestseller, The Rise of the Fourth Reich, because that will tell you that we defeated the German military in World War II, and we defeated the German nation, but we didn't defeat the Nazis. In fact, at the signing of the surrender papers, that was the German Wehrmacht, the army. The Nazis were not even represented there. They never gave up. In fact, the same international banksters that had bankrolled Hitler.
The Bilderberg is Nazi.
And exactly. And created the Third Reich. They simply brought them all over here with the help of the CIA.
Paperclip.
With a paperclip and several other programs. Thousands of them, okay? And rolled them into our military-industrial complex.
To head programs from NASA to CIA.
To mind control, to pharmaceuticals. Why do you think they're putting fluoride in the drinking water?
My son has a children's history book on the Nazis. In fact, I meant to bring it for the speech tonight. He is back in the hotel with my wife. God bless her. She's sick or something tonight. Doesn't feel well. But the point is, in there it says the Nazis would tell people, I got to look this up. I'd never even seen this, but it was like a mainline big Scholastic book, the biggest publisher in the world.
Yeah.
They said the Nazis would give people shots saying it was a vaccine. It was really to kill them.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what do you think's going on today? Did you know that about the Nazis?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that. Tell us briefly when we go to calls.
Right. Well, they had a program where they were targeting in the German, it translated to life not worth life or not worth living. And they would go for people that they considered defective mentally, physically, whatever. And they would, they'd inject them, tell them they'd give them medicine and just kill them off.
But that's what they're doing to us.
Exactly. Except they learned.
This is in a children's book. I learn stuff every day.
Well,
they said they would say, we're giving you a vaccine, it'd kill them.
And of course, when they sent them to the camps and they'd tell them, strip off, we're going to put you in this little room and we're going to delouse you, you know. Of course, they threw in the Cyclone B gas, you know. And see, you don't kill a lot of people at once by telling them we're going to kill you. They're liable to fight back or something. So it's always for your good.
Film I'm going to premiere tonight. I've been so busy. I just got finished a few days ago. I haven't thought up the right name yet for it to describe it. But it's all about democide, which is in the universities. You're a professor yourself, but that the public doesn't know about it. And democide is death by government. 260 plus million last century killed by government.
Well, if you want to go back to the United States government and go back to the Native Americans and come forward to the Philippine insurrection, and then
it'd be even higher.
Just keep going, you know. Yeah, we've killed more people than Hitler supposedly did. So I don't know. It's really something. People just need to wake up and get to their senses. We're good people. The United States gives more to charity than all the other nations in the world.
But we're gullible.
Put together, but we're gullible and we're naive.
Because we're the good guys. We think we're perfect now.
Yeah.
And it's just not the case. Let's go to phone calls. You ready? Let's go to Sean in Arizona. You're on the air with Jim Mars live in Dallas, Texas. Thanks, Sean.
Thank you, Alex. Thank you, Mr. Mars. Thanks for everything you've done over the past 50 years pertaining to the JFK conspiracy. But what I have to say today is a comment on the flight from Amsterdam to Detroit that Mr. Hassel from Detroit was on. I've been on that flight, and I want to share to you a couple quick facts. First of all, I was over in Germany, and I was told by my German host that when we flew into Amsterdam from Bremen, Germany, not to fiddle around with the Dutch authorities. They had the second toughest airport security in the world behind the Israelis, and they did racially profile me and others individually. It was really something to watch. and one-on-one consultations on a dais, and then they cut you loose. And what I witnessed, and this was in May, Memorial Day weekend of 2003, we had an orange alert at the time. When I was cut loose from the one-to-one consultation with the Dutch authorities, I went around the corner, and every Mideast looking person, and that meaning Pakistanians, East Indians, Sikhs with headdresses, were all being searched there. Everyone, there was no exception. Everybody, even 80-year-old women.
Yeah, it was real security. No, they had naked body scanners at that airport and brought him through. He didn't even, the U.S. government got him the visa. He didn't have the other passport. And that's what Haskell saw, was a guy with high enough authority at the gate, at the secondary check, to say, you will put him on. And then the government admits that was their guy that got him on.
Oh, of course.
But is that the point you're getting at?
No, wait, Sean, I want to ask you something, because it does sound like that was a very stringent security checkpoint. Did they put their hand down your pants?
This was completely professional. I mean, completely.
No. Here it's about the federal government is your god. We're going to have pot bellies grab your child's genitals. Here it's about domination.
Everyone who's listening, this put their hand down your pants, this has nothing to do with security. This has everything to do with making the public passive and accepting of just about anything.
Yeah, exactly. But, sir, to finish your point, so what is your point in the huge security you saw compared to what you just heard with Kurt Haskell, with the U.S. government demanding they get this guy on the plane?
Well, the key is this, Alex, and you've already said it, and what the majority of our countrymen don't know, it was impossible for any terrorist to get on the plane without cooperation from our people, because the Dutch were so good that they would have never allowed. That's the whole point here, and I've known it for years, ever since it happened.
It's on record that after the Israelis, they've got the most, including naked body scanners. Listen, the underwear bomber was brought past all the security. That was later confirmed. Well, just like it's brought right past it all.
Wait. One month after that, there were congressional hearings, and there were people from the intelligence community who testified to Congress under sworn testimony that the State Department was going to decline this guy a visa.
They were ordered to let him in, yeah.
And our intelligence services said, no, let him on.
See, so you were driving in. You missed it. I had Haskell on. He said it a month and a half before it was in the news. He saw it happen.
Yeah.
And exactly. No, it was on C-SPAN. Yeah, no, they run the... Look, they're giving Al-Qaeda control of Libya and Syria now.
And
I mean, come on, man.
If you go back to
TSA wants to grope my family. I can't fly, but because Al Qaeda, but they give them whole countries.
And they right. And if you'll go back to every single terrorist big story from the Sears Tower in Chicago all the way down, at the thick of it, at the middle of it, you always find some government informant or some government
provocateur. The whole thing.
The whole thing's a scam.
It is. Great call. Listen,
thank you, Sean.
We've got like 15 more callers here. We're going to come back, give each caller 1 minute on the other side. Final segment, and then Jim's going to give a speech. And Jim's such a sweetheart. He's like, well, I don't want to give too much of a speech. I just want to introduce you. Jim, I'm a fan of you. I want to hear you speak. I want to sit in there with some popcorn.
We now take you live to the Central Texas Command Center in the heart of the resistance. You're listening to the Alex Jones Show.
We are back live here. We're talking about gardening boxes. What is this system you're talking about?
Aero garden.
I need to get one.
Yeah, it's a little, you grow your own herbs. It's got a little grow light. You grow.
No, wait a minute. They're shutting down the Amish and shutting down people with the lemonade stands. I don't know if you can be trusted with a garden, because you know they're starting to restrict them.
Oh, well,
you have to
fair.
Have inspections to make sure there's not drugs, because you're
true.
Guilty until proven innocent.
That's true. Maybe I better not put any mint in the mint juleps I serve to people.
Oh, yeah. Don't do that.
It hasn't been government approved.
Exactly. Let's race through your calls here. Jeff in Canada, you're on the air. Go ahead.
I just had a quick question for Jim. It's funny you brought up your books. I'm just racing through the end of The Rise of the Fourth Reich. And I wondered if Jim could go over on page 207. He talks about Otto Scorsese, the Nazis, the Egyptian Gestapo, which is known as the Muslim Brotherhood, how it ties to the CIA director, Alan Dulles, Richard Gelin, and how...
Oh, yeah, no, no. They run... Listen, the Nazis, British intel, our government, they run all the Muslim extremists. Go ahead.
Exactly. And that's because they took them over at the end of World War II, because prior to them, the Muslim Brotherhood had been a Nazi-run organization. So, you know, now we got not only fanatical Muslims, but...
Well, the Grand Imam was an actual Nazi.
Oh, yeah, and a big fan of Adolf Hitler. And, in fact, you know, I had an uncle that served in the army in North Africa. And he said they had as much trouble with the Muslim Brotherhood as they did with the Nazis. I mean, they were fighting us over there, too. See, nobody gets told about the truth of history. We just get these little sound bites. And
but they're the good guys. They're putting them in charge now.
Oh, yeah.
The TSA goes in your pants because they need to put them in charge.
That's right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Making us safe. Safe. Wait a minute. Come on, folks. Freedom has never been safe, clean,
all right, great
tidy.
Paul. Quick 30-second comeback, Jeff.
Oh, I just wanted to say, if anybody hasn't read Rise of the Fourth Reich, every page is a jaw-dropper. Recommended reading to know what's really going on. I mean, it's just an incredible work of art.
Well, thank you very much.
And unfortunately, I've read so many mainline history books. Were pieces of it read? I know your book's accurate.
Right.
That's just incredible. Let's go ahead and go to another call here. Let's talk to Brad in Pennsylvania. You're on the air, Brad.
Hey, Alex, thanks a lot. Jim, you guys are just awesome. It's nice to hear you both together.
Thank you.
I think you should get him on the show more often, Alex, because I know you have fun with him. And I'd love to hear you with your dad on there again on the show, because that was a great interplay. Your dad's...
Well, he looks just like him. I think it'd be his body double.
Maybe
in fact, actually, Jim is my dad. Let's start a new conspiracy theory.
Me and his dad are going to hire out his bookends.
I'm sorry,
hey, great. Good luck tonight with the show. And I'm a Prison Planet TV member. I love to see that stuff live if you guys could do it. But I'm sure you'll probably replay it. But best of luck to you tonight.
Well, it's a technical issue. If I could hire more crew, we could do it. I got skeleton crew, and I'm trying to hire people. Whereas folks are working 7 days a week, and I was about to do it, but our IT guys would have to stay up there till like 11 tonight. And actually, they let me do it, but I can only deal out so much abuse here. But thank you so much. We will get it up there for PrisonPlanet.tv viewers in the next few days. It'll be up there for everybody.
Good.
Let's go to Chad in Georgia. Chad, you're on the air.
Yeah, I got a question about vaccines. I've got some friends who were trying to get their kid into school, and they basically said unless their kid had vaccines, that they wouldn't admit him into school.
Yeah, that's all a fraud, color of law fraud. There's no law you've got to have vaccines to go to school. Then they lie and say, well, if you're not vaccinated, you'll get the other kid sick. Well, wait, they took all the shots. They're not protected from the shots. The vaccine companies pay the federal government, who then pays the schools a certain percentage. In some cases, it's over $1,000. And this is all on record, to vaccinate. So they lie to you and say it's the law. There's a waiver, but still that's a waiver to policy, not to law. And now they're starting to lie and say it is the law, Jim.
Yeah, no, there's no law. But I would simply say to your friends, if you truly care about your children's health, and particularly if you care about their education, you might consider homeschooling.
Well, I know this. My children have not been vaccinated, and they're sick about one-third as much as regular kids once a year. Some other kids are, like, sick every other month.
That's right.
I never had a lot of vaccines, and I'm healthy. Everybody, look, they admit when you take the flu shot, it doubles your chances of getting the flu shot the next year. Canadian government admits that.
That's right, because anybody knows about vaccinations knows that what they're doing is giving you a little bit of what they're trying to prevent. And so, you know, and it's something, there's something a fairly high, like 20%, like, say, they vaccinate you against chicken pox.
You end up getting
20% get the chicken pox.
No, they admit the UN program giving people the polio vaccine is what's actually causing polio worldwide.
Oh, absolutely.
Now.
Well, that gets into a whole different thing, but that's because the polio vaccine was adulterated with simian immunization virus 40.
40, yeah. Thank you, sir. Good points. Appreciate the call. It's total fraud. And again, even if you think vaccines are good, they lie and say it's the law. I mean, come on, they're lying to you. Stop.
They really are. There's no law. It's just like here we are almost at tax time, and there is no law that says you have to pay your tax.
Speaking of Ron Paul, they always say, how are we going to build a government without the income tax? And a lot of times he's standing in front of the Capitol, and he goes, Well, we built this capital right here behind me without it. We didn't even have an income tax until 1913. And as you know, it was only 1% up until about 1950.
Right.
It was a temporary war tax during World War II. Let's go to Howard in Connecticut. Howard, you're on the air with Jim Mars.
Hi, Jim. Hi, Alex. Again, this is Genix. Hi, sir. Again, your work is great. I've read many of your books. And, Alex, your work is just incomprehensible. It's just unbelievable. Thank you for so much you're doing. We're hoping that you come up north here. We're in Connecticut here with We Are Change Connecticut, hoping that you're going to be in the Northeast in the future. I hope
I do intend to do a Northeast thing. I mean, I got like over 100 stations I need to visit. I do intend to try to get up there.
That's fantastic. Definitely interested in the blueprint to defeat the New World Order. And anything we can do here, We Are Change Connecticut, we've got your back, sir. And just wanted to talk about the eugenics. You know, you mentioned all this stuff. There's a company called Reed Elsevier. Are you guys familiar with that company?
Reed Elsevier?
Reed Elsevier, right. It is a conglomerate that owns, you're going to, because we're talking about the homeschooling and the vaccines. Well, guess what this company owns? This company owns, among other things, LexisNexis, the data mining for basically everything, the CIA, FBI.
Yeah, I know what that is.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
They also own Variety magazine, 15,000 propaganda magazines. They own Cell and Lancet magazine. They publish the medical books that are in.
Okay, so it's a giant holding company like Bain owning Clear Channel in the past. What are they up to?
Well, they're putting in the books, like hardcore books. My son goes to Catholic school. And his books have Illuminati symbolisms in it. They have mathematical equations, Alex, that they use disinformation in the equation. Like, for example, this is not in the book, but it would be two planes leave Boston traveling at the rate of X amount of miles per hour. How long will it take them to crash into the buildings after they were hijacked by terrorists? So they're actually using
Politically laced. My son was playing some game called Brain Pop, a history game, and it was all, do we have total communism or partial communism? Because you play the part of the president in this game. And it's like, well, the total communism's not good, but the partial communism, it's like, do we have total taxes or only increase them on the rich? And then it's like, and my son said neither. And they go, well, that's bad policy. We need to raise it. So, yeah, I mean, the brainwashing is just off the charts. Thank you so much, Howard.
It's incredible. It's like, how many shots did Lee Harvey Oswald fire? You know, three, four? Hey, wait a minute. Maybe he didn't fire any at all.
They give you false choices. Real fast, Brandon in Idaho, you're on the air. Go ahead, Brandon.
I got just a couple points, really. I can definitely speak on behalf of the military trying to train people for against the Constitution and also being basically lab rats, because I just got done doing 5 years active duty. Then they tried to say militia groups are illegal, that you have no rights being in the military. And, you know, getting anthrax shot, you ask them, hey, will this prevent anthrax? They say, nope, if you had anthrax, you would die. Like, then what's the point of the shots?
No, they admitted that wouldn't. But by the way, that's illegal. We stopped them 10 years ago giving it because it's, quote, experimental. So they just brought it back. Exactly. It's incredible. They get paid by big companies to use you as lab rats.
Yep.
I actually just got diagnosed with called myxoma. It's a tumor in the jawbone that only, I think, at max 6% of the country gets.
No, no. All these rare cancers are exploding in the troops. They're killing you, sir. Yeah. I mean, they're eugenicists. They hate you. I mean, I can't believe this. So they made you take experimental shots?
Oh, big time. And the VA keeps sending me, ask me to get flu shots. I'm not going to get flu shots because.
Oh, folks, they're Nazis. They're the eugenicists who created the Nazis. God bless you. Just warn other troops, warn others. We can't get to Merrill. We're out of time. Jim, we're going to speak tonight. We'll put the video on the web. JimMars.com, Infowars.com. Thank you for watching. God bless you. God bless you. Great job to the crew in Austin. Great job to the crew here and all the folks coming out tonight.